Okay, ready to begin?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, Zeche Nishmas Avi Murray, Yaakov Yisrael Pinchas, Zeche Nishmas Daniel Shein, Abbas Yeshua, Falak. Gemach HaSim HaTova to everybody. As we are now in the middle of the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, and we're giving a shiur tonight in Yoni Sukkah, so we'll see how we can fit everything in. Because really, Sukkos is connected to the Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkos. It's a progression from one to the other. And we have to understand what is that progression of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkos. So the first thing we have to understand in terms of Sukkos is the famous question of why is Sukkos in this time of the year? In other words, nothing specifically happened at first glance on Tezvav Tishrei that merits us to celebrate the Yontif of Sukkos on this day. Tezvav Nisan, we know, that was the day of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So we understand that there was a monumental occasion that happened on that day. But Sukkos, there was nothing that really happened. Sukkos, Klal Yisrael, was in the Sukkos, or the Anone HaKavod, whichever opinion we subscribe to. Throughout the 40 years, they were in the desert. So it wasn't anything specific on that day that happened at first glance. So then why do we celebrate that day to start the Yontif of Sukkos? In contrast to Pesach, where it's very obvious why we start the Yontif on Pesach, on Tezvav Nisan. Now, we know the Torah says we celebrate this time of the year because it's starting to get cold, and if we would just sit in the sukkah in the summertime, you know, so then it wouldn't be showing that we're doing it for the Ratzon Hashem, we're just doing it because that's a convenient time to sit outside. Now it's starting to get a little cold and you're still sitting outside, so the Torah writes that shows that you're doing the Shem Shamayim. But that still doesn't answer the question as to why is it that we celebrate the Yontif of Sukkos on that specific day, starting with that specific day. So there is an explanation from the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon writes this on his Perush in Shir HaShirim, and he writes the following. That we know that Klal Yisrael did the Avera of the Chet HaEgel, and that caused the breaking of the Luchos, etc. And then Moshe Rabbeinu goes up up to the mountain, Har Sinai, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives Klal Yisrael on Yom Kippur. And then he comes back, and now one of the part of the puzzle that we have to articulate is that the Vilna Gaon says, and there are makoros for this, that when Klal Yisrael worshipped the Egel, then the Anoni HaKovod went away as a sort of a punishment. You know, Anoni HaKovod was Hashem's special protection to the Jewish people, and when they worshipped the Egel, they went away. So what happened? So explains the Vilna Gaon like this. So Moshe Rabbeinu was forgiven on the 10th of Tishrei on Yom Kippur. Then he goes down from Har Sinai on the 11th. And then he's mitzava them that we have to build a Mishkan. And it's, and it says that, so he went down on the 11th, he was silent on the Mishkan, and then it says, Am heviu nedava baboker baboker. It means that they brought the nedava of the different physical things that were needed for the Mishkan. It took 2 days that they were donating their jewelry, as said, for the Mishkan, the 12th and the 13th. And the 14th, they were all brought together, all the gifts. And on the 15th, they started building the Mishkan. And at that point, what? The Anani HaKavod returned. So the Vilna Gaon makes a specific calculation that the that something did happen on the 15th of Tishrei. And that, in other words, we think normally that Sukkos is connected, the Anani HaKavod, which encamped the Jewish people throughout the their stay in the Midbar. But the Vilna Gaon says no, because if that's really the reason, then there's nothing significant about the 15th of Tishrei. The significance is that when Kadosh Baruch Hu created, forgave them, but the forgiveness was not totally in place until he restored the Anani HaKavod, which he took away after they sinned. And the Anani HaKavod, the way he did the Cheshbon of the 10th, and what happened on the 10th of the month, the 11th, the 12th, the 13th, the 14th, you know, he tells you exactly what happened in each day of the month until you hit the 15th. And on the 15th, they built the Mishkan, and the Anani HaKavod returned. So it, in essence, what? Gave us the completion of the Kapara, when the Anani HaKavod returned. But let me explain it to you in a more deeper idea. You know, there's something about a sukkah you have to know, that the Gemara tells us that Chal Shem Shamayim al HaSukkah. Right? The Gemara says that sukkah has a kedusha. Say, in the middle of sukkah, somebody would want to, you know, when I grew up, we all used bamboos. That was the classic. When my father, Harani Kaparis Mishkovo, grew up, he said they used the branches. You know, the branches, there were branches put down on every street, and people would come and collect those, you know, different branches and things like that. When I grew up, we didn't do the branches anymore. It was bamboo, and now bamboo is sort of out of style, and people do the schach mats. You just have to make sure you get it from the right place, you know, with a proper hashkacha, because, you know, if you get schach mats from somebody who made it as a mat to sit on, then you're not yotzei. You could have the nicest sukkah, but you're not yotzei because it's makabel tumah. So you have to make sure that you're not getting it from some place in China where who knows what, you know, what really was manufactured as. You know, that's why it's not simple to, you know, to just get it from Home Depot is a question, or something like that. You should get it with a reliable hashkacha, just like you get your meat with a reliable hashkacha. You should get your schach with a reliable hashkacha, because or else it could be that it's makabel tumah, and if it was made as a mat to sleep on, to sit on, it's makabel tumah, and then it's no good. So keep that in mind if you having a sukkah that has, you know, schach mats. Oh, so if one would want to take a mat or a bamboo off the sukkah in the middle of sukkahs and use it for some other thing. Say they have a very big sukkah. So they said, you know, I need a mat for something. I'll take some from far away. a man off, and I needed to do whatever I need to do with it. I used to give the example that I take a bamboo, play a stickball, or something like that. That would be an Isser Daraisa, a Torah prohibition, to do such a thing. Because even though usually the concept of huktzim in the mitzvaso, that if something is set aside for the mitzvah, you can't use it for other things, that's usually only the Rabbanan. But when it comes to sukkah, we have a din daraisa, a Torah prohibition, that chal shem shamayim al hasukkah. And you know where the Gemara learns it out from? It learns it out from, it says, the chagosim, that the sukkah is like a chag. Kishem shachal shem shamayim, chag hasukkos tasaloch, kishem shachal shem shamayim al hachagiga, kachal shem shamayim al hasukkah. That just like chag means loshon chagiga, like Rav Shechter always says, that's the animal, the korban that you bring, the korban chagiga is holy. Chag sukkos, chag chagiga. So just like the korban is holy, so too your sukkah is like a korban, and it's kadosh. So why is your sukkah like a korban? But that's the halacha, that you can't use the sukkah for other usages, other than seeing the sukkah. So what can I tell you? So but what's that comparison? So let me tell you an idea that I was thinking based on this Vilna Gaon. The Mabit is a Sefer Mabit, and it's about tefillah, tshuva, and he writes a beautiful idea. He says like this: there are two types of slicha. Whereas, say a person wronged somebody, and he goes over and asks forgiveness, and he forgives him. The slicha. Kapara. But there are two ways that the person could react. One way that the person can react is saying, okay, you ask mechila, I'll mechil you. But you know what? I'm still not happy with you, but I'm mechil. But you know what? But I don't want to have anything to do with you in the future. Basically, our relationship is over. Okay, I'm not going to hold a grudge. I'm not going to, but okay, you won't be punished because of me. I'll mochel you, etc. But the relationship will not be the same or not exist even at all, even though technically I mochel you so you shouldn't get punished by the fact that you wronged me, etc. And it is what it is. But then the Mabit says there's another madriga. And that he uses the Lashon Ritzui. V'nirtzelo. There was not only am I forgive you, but I want to restore the relationship to the way it was prior to the falling out. That's called Ritzui. Meratze. Totally appeased, totally restored. So I think what the Vilna Gaon is saying, the way some explain, is that Sukkos is not only the Kapara, the Salachti Kidvarecha was on Yom Kippur. Right? But who says that Hashem wants to continue the relationship? It's only when he went ahead and what? And brought back the Anone HaKavod, then the relationship is restored. So Sukkos not only represents, it's the continuation of Yom Kippur. Because Yom Kippur, there was Mechila, Slach Lanu, Mechal Lanu, Kaper Lanu. But what about Meratzel Lanu? That's for Sukkos. That's for Sukkos. And I'll tell you another thing. Now we understand, I think the Vilna Gaon writes this also, that what does a Korban do? What does it say in the Torah by a Korban? The Nirtzelo Lechaper Alav. That when we sin, say you mechal Shabbos b'shogeg, and then you bring a korban, Torah says, V'nirtza lo lecha perlov. It's ritzui. A korban's ritzui. Now you can understand the Gemara. Why is the sukkah compared to a korban? That chal shem shemayim ala sukkah. That it has kedusha like a korban. Because we're trying to what? Be maratze. And at this point, Hashem says, I'm going to, not only I'm going to forgive you, but let's have it the way it was before. So you have the Anon Yaakov that shows my same love and my same protection on you as it was before. You know, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, on Daf Yud Zayin, we're saying Slichas these days, we say Hashem, Hashem, Kal Rachum Mechanun, Erech HaPayim, etc. So the Gemara says Hashem, Hashem. What is the two times it says Hashem, Hashem? Ani Hashem Kodim Sheyechta, V'ani Hashem Achar Sheyechta. So I understand, Hashem is Midas Harachimim. So I understand, Achar Sheyechta, you need Midas Harachimim. But why do you need Midas Harachimim what? Kodim Sheyechta. So the Rosh says his explanation is that certain Averus, like Avodah Zarah, even the Machshava already is an Avera. So for those Averus, even before you technically worship the Avodah Zarah, you need to have what? Kapara for the thought to do the Avodah Zarah. But I believe in the Mabit, he says, no. And Hashem Hashem means that Ani Hashem Kodesh Yechla, meaning we can have the same relationship. I was Hashem, that relationship we had before Sheyechta. Ani Hashem Acha Sheyechta. Meaning, what does that mean? We're going to have not only forgiveness, but we're going to have what? Ritzui. We're going to have the same relationship. And that's what a korban is. After you bring a korban, not only you have kapara, but you have ritzui. And that's what the sukkah is all about. That we want forgiveness from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which we got in Yom Kippur, but that doesn't mean the relationship is restored. And now the sukkah is the closest level the relationship is restored. And now we're on the highest levels of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He quotes, the Shem Yishmul quotes, Heviyani HaMelech HaDorav, the king brings me into his inner chamber. That's the sukkah. And sukkah, what's the gematria of sukkah? What's the numerical value of sukkah? No, who's the mathematicians here? Sukkah samach vav chaf hey is how much? No? Somebody?
Ninety-one.
Very good. What's your name?
Panina.
Torchina. From Toronto.
My uncle.
Your uncle, okay. Yeah. Okay. Now, let's say like this. What's Shem Hashem? There's two Shems. Yud Kei Vav Kei and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. What's the numerical value of Aleph Dalet Nun Yud? Aleph is 1. Dalet is 4, so that's 5. Nun is 50, so it's 55. And Yud is what? 6. It's 10, that's 65. So that's the Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is 65. And Yud Kei Vav Kei is what? 2 Hays is 10. And the Yud is 20. And the Vav is 6, so it's 26. So 65 and 26 is 91. So that's the gematria that's brought down in the different Sfarim. It's not my own, it's brought down as Sfarim. That you see, the Sukkah has the two Shem Hashems. The holiness of the Sukkah. Hashem is really bringing us into His abode. He's bringing us into His abode. Because He wants to restore the relationship. It's not just, let's have forgiveness, and then you go your way, I go my way, and I don't want to just have anything to do with you anymore. That's not what Hashem... See, Sukkah is that idea of restoring relationships. Something to think about. So, Baruch Hashem, my son, who's started high school this year, so he was born on Chol HaMoed Sukkos. So he was born in the Beth Israel Hospital on Chol HaMoed Sukkos. So there's a sukkah there. So my wife was gave birth, and I was eating lunch in the sukkah in the hospital. I took a, you know, time off. I was visiting, back, forth, whatever. And then I went for lunch. And so there was this fellow there I met, a Hasidic fellow in the sukkah. So he told me over, he says, I have a nice Dvar Torah I want to share with you from my late Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Moshe David Steinwurzel, who was the Bob of a Rosh Yeshiva, who used to live down the two blocks from me in Brooklyn. He said a good vort. I always say this over this vort. At Sukkot, we know, in addition to pouring wine on the Mizbeach, we pour water on the Mizbeach. And there's a lot to talk about the significance of water. But let me tell you what this Rosh Hashiva said, and I think it fits in very well with everything we said before, till now. He says, when someone comes to your house, right, and you don't know them so well, so you're a little bit, like, this is not the full comfort level. So you have to put, you know, nice food out to make a good impression, because, you know, there's like this, but like when your brother or sister come home, you know, you're friendly with them already. You don't have to prove anything. So you can put water on the table and it's fine. You know, in other words, you don't have to prove anything to anyone. So that's the idea of Sukkos. We're so close to Ribono Shel Olam, it's the relationship of water. That when you're close with somebody, you can give them water and it's also okay. Because you don't have to prove anything. You don't have to show off. You don't have to, you know, and that's the, because that's the idea, that at Sukkos is the Shem Shemayim is there, and it has this chumrah of, it has this chumrah that you can't use the sukkah for anything else, meaning, because if you would take something away from the sukkah and use it for something else, it would be a problem. That's why the Oded Yontif has a famous tshuva, that if it's raining in Sukkos, so it would be usher to be in the sukkah. Not only you're not obligated in the sukkah, but it would be forbidden to be in the sukkah because you're not being yotzei the mitzvah, and then you're getting benefit from the sukkah without being yotzei the mitzvah. And others disagree with him and say, no, the din that you're not allowed to use the sukkah is if you take something away from the sukkah. Here the sukkah's up. You're not taking something from the sukkah. So if you're in the sukkah and it's raining, so the Chazal say, you're nikra hedyot. You're considered, it's not a compliment. You know, an ordinary person, you're not considered doing something so smart, because you're, you know, but you're not necessarily violating the isser of getting hanah from the sukkah, because you're not getting hanah was you take something away from the sukkah and you use it for something else. But if you're just putting something on the sukkah, or the sukkah's in its right place, you're not doing a maisa b'yadayim, maybe. So some poskim disagree with the Oded Yontif. The Oded Yontif says something else. I don't know if it's the best thing to say in a woman's shir, but the Oded Yontif is of the opinion in that same tshuva that only men are allowed in a sukkah. Woman's not allowed in a sukkah because she's not chayiv in the mitzvah. And then if you're not chayiv in the mitzvah and you're using the facility, then you're violating this thing. So he only permits married ladies to be in the sukkah. That's his opinion. So it's an impetus to get married or to not paskin like the Oded Yontif, which most people don't paskin like. That the general assumption is that either that women do get schar, even though they don't get or have or not obligated in the sukkah, but some say that they still will get schar, just like any mitzvah sasech has a mangrama. The different opinions. What if a woman does a mitzvah that she's not obligated to do? Like you all did it probably yesterday. You all listened to the shofar, right? So women aren't obligated in the shofar. I mean, technically women, you know, like to hear the shofar. It's like, shofar is like a big thing, you know. It's like, you know, it brings us before the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the minhag people love to, even women, you know, try to hear the shofar. But technically speaking, they're not even obligated in the shofar. And sukkah, they're not obligated in. And lulav, they're not obligated. So it's like, I guess maybe that's not the best thing to discuss now. But lamaisa, we let women in the sukkah, even single. And, you know, if you come to Lower East Side, that's where my in-laws are from. They have a communal sukkah. You can, you know, find a shidduch there in the sukkah. You know, it's a good opportunity. And communal sukkahs is good. Now, this year with COVID, they're saying, you know, people have to leave, you know, after a certain amount of time. You can't be there too long. But whatever. Hopefully it still should be good. And then on the year that we won't have COVID in some, you know, in the near future, then, you know, things could get back to normal. And because as I told people, I always tell people that the Zohar HaKadosh says the main point of Yontif is, you know, one of the main points of Yontif is, the main point of Yontif is to have guests at the table, especially people who don't have their opportunity to be with other people. That should be the first thing. Getting ready for Sukkot, who are we inviting? You know, on Shabbos, it's not, even though Baruch Hashem, we try to have Shabbos guests also, but Shabbos is not meant for that. Really, the Meshech Chochmah says Shabbos is really to hone in on your relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, you and God, and Yontif is about you and your fellow Jew. And the Zohar states this, and the Sefer Noam Megadim, it's a classic Hasidic Sefer. If you heard of it, it's classical. If you didn't hear of it, it's not classical, but it'll become classical. It's a classic Sefer. He says a beautiful idea. A new pshat in the Mishnah in Megillah. There's a famous Mishnah in Megillah that say, "Ein bein Shabbos liyontif ala ochel nefesh belvad." That the difference between Shabbos and Yontif is ochel nefesh. That on Shabbos you're not allowed to cook, and on Yontif you could cook. So the Sefer Noam Megadim says, based on the Zohar, a different pshat. Ochel nefesh belvad means on Shabbos you could eat alone, but on Yontif you can't have ochel nefesh levad. That you have to be with people. And hopefully you could still, I don't know, whatever the rules are when Sukkot comes along, of who you're allowed to invite and how the social distance, all these things. Social distance is not for, you know, our goal in life. Our goal in life is not to have social distance. It's to be able to bring people in and you know, okay, when there's an epidemic, so okay, it's a shayla of, you know, getting people sick. So of course, you know, we have to follow the rules and guidelines that we're supposed to follow. But Yiddishkeit, the pasuk says, "Misaser ish b'mistarim v'ani lo eredu." Hashem says, if a person hides in mistarim, then I don't look at him. Ani lo eredu, because the point is to be together with people. And that's especially what Yontif is about. And that should be, you know, again, whatever the rules are going to be, this coming Sukkot of what who you're allowed to invite and not invite, okay. But even if it's not fully applicable this year, but hopefully the rest of your life will be applicable. And that fits into the same idea. I mean, that's about all Yom Tovim. Sukkot is even more special, because Sukkot is about... you know, we said our relationship with God, we were forgiven on Yom Kippur, but the relationship is restored on Sukkot. So the same thing with relationship with people. You know, if you have a relationship that's a little bit rocky, and then you can make up on Yom Kippur, but then that doesn't mean the relationship is restored. And Bez Hashem, when Sukkot comes around, hopefully, just like your relationship with God is restored, and Hashem even gave us back the Anoni HaKavod, and now the relationship is back the way it was. It's just not just a, you know, okay, Michael, goodbye and good luck. You know, I don't want anything to do with you. And that's why it's a korban. V'nirtzah was a korban. It says v'nirtzah lo l'chaper alof. And that's the water on Sukkos, Nisach HaMayim, because that represents the highest, like Rav Steinwurzel said, that represents the highest level of a relationship, is when you can just, you don't have to impress anybody. You just give them water. Whether it's filtered or not, that's a different question. But you can just give them water, and that's the idea of Sukkos. But it's interesting. There's a halach in Sukkos that the schach has to be aray. In other words, it can't be something of a permanent nature. That's why it's brought down in the poskim that for a sukkah to be kosher, it has to be able to rain into the sukkah. In other words, if you put too much schach and it's too thick, and even if it would rain, it won't come in, then some poskim hold the sukkah's puzzle. Because that's like, hopefully in your house, when it rains, it doesn't rain in. If it does, you should call the roofer or call the super if you're in an apartment. It's not supposed to rain in. That represents the kvius of the house. And a sukkah is not a mokum kavua. It's only kavua for these 7-8 days. But it's not a mokum kavua. And that's the idea brought down in the Alshich, that sukkahs represents life in Olam Hazeh. Yimeshno seinu bahem shivim shana. So each day of sukkahs represents another decade in your life. Hopefully today, with medicine, hopefully people live more than 70 years. But in Tehillim, you know, it says, Mishno Seidim Shim Shana, because the world, even a person lives longer, it's still not forever. So that's, the sukkah is the dearest arai of life, of that's temporary. It's a temporary abode, like this world is, Olam Hazeh is temporary. And Shmini Atzeres is the... It's like Rav David Cohen always likes to say, that's the Olam Haba. That's the, eternal life in Olam Haba. And that's why we should realize that in life, we have to focus on things that are eternal. Like a person, you know, he eats, he drinks, okay, he has to. But those aren't the things that you're going to take with you to Olam Haba. You call someone up before Sukkos and you invite them to your house, you invite them to your sukkah, someone who's lonely, that's you're going to take with that schus to Olam Haba. You know, the Rabbeinu Bechaya quotes in Parshas Truma, there was a minhag, that when a person would die, they would build his coffin out of his dining room table. Because the dining room table was the vehicle that he invited so many people to his house, and to show that's coming with him to the Olam HaEmes. That's coming with him to Olam HaEmes. And that's what Yontif affords us, that opportunity. Yontif affords us that opportunity to take things and do things that are eternal. Eternal. And that's, you know, things that you help people out, you invite people, you care about people. Those are the things that are eternal, and that's the restoration of this relationship. So that's the we go from Rosh Hashanah to Yom HaDin, and then we get the Kapara on Yom Kippur, and then we get the Ritzui on Sukkos. And that's the progression of the month of Tishrei from Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur to Sukkos. So Ezra Shem, like Rabbi Bajon Shlit always says, that after Sukkos, you have to take the ideas of Sukkos, the lessons of Sukkot, and then bring it back into your house, and realize that that's the way you should live life the whole year. Okay, so I'd like to thank Rabbi Bernstein, who always cordially invites me to give. And the best thing is he invites me to come to Stern College for Shabbos, but that hasn't happened in a long time since. So hopefully we should be zocha, you know, to be able to come back we should all be able to come back and have a nice Shabbaton or something like that, you know, with all your friends, and you know, get back things to normal. So I wish the Ribbon Shalom should, as we said today, Avinu Malkeinu, Menag Magefa B'Nachal Asecha, that Hashem should prevent any magefas from our communities, and as Hashem, we should all be healthy and be able to service. That as the Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva, you have to be healthy, or else you're not be able to service HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly. So when you're healthy and you have all the gashmius needs that you need to, then that will facilitate you to be an individual who could really fulfill the mitzvahs in the Torah. Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, Ben Adam L'Mokom. So I wish you all a Gemar Chasima Tov.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Rebbe. Thank you, everybody. For a wonderful, wonderful night. Everyone's doing good. And we'll continue learning, hopefully, tomorrow together.